The Dialogue of St. Catherine of Siena, Part 9. How through these and through other defects one falls into false judgment, and of the indignity to which one comes. By these and by other sins men fall into false judgment, as I will explain to you below. They are continually being scandalized by my works, which are all just, and all performed in truth through love and mercy. With this false judgment, and with the poison of envy and pride, the works of my Son were slandered and unjustly judged, and with lies did his enemies say, "This man works by virtue of Beelzebub." Thus wicked men, standing in self-love, impurity, pride, and avarice, and founded in envy, and in perverse rashness with impatience, are forever scandalized at me and at my servants, whom they judge to be feignedly practicing the virtues, because their heart is rotten, and having spoiled their taste, good things seem evil to them, and bad things, that is to say, disorderly living, seem good to them. Oh, how blind is the human generation in that it considers not its own dignity! From being great, you have become small. From a ruler, you have become a slave, and that in the vilest service that can be had, because you are the servant and slave of sin, and are become like unto that which you do serve. Sin is nothing. You, then, have become nothing. It has deprived you of life and given you death. This life and power were given you by the Word, my only begotten Son, the glorious bridge, he drawing you from out of your servitude when you were servants of the devil, himself becoming as a servant to take you out of servitude, imposing on himself obedience to do away with the obedience of Adam, and humbling himself to the shameful death of the cross to confound pride. By his death he destroyed every vice, so that no one could say that any vice remained that was not punished and beaten out with pains, as I said to you above, when I said that of his body he had made an anvil. All the remedies are ready to save men from eternal death, and they despise the blood, and have trampled it under the feet of their disordinate affection. And it is for this injustice and false judgment that the world is reproved, and will be reproved on the last day of judgment. This was meant by my truth when he said, "I will send the Paraclete, who will reprove the world of injustice and false judgment." And it was reproved when I sent the Holy Spirit on the apostles. Of the words that Christ said, "I will send the Holy Spirit, who will reprove the world of injustice and false judgment," and how one of these reproofs is continuous. There are three reproofs. One was given when the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples, who, as it is said, being fortified by my power, and illumined by the wisdom of my beloved Son, received all in the plenitude of the Holy Spirit. Then the Holy Spirit, who is one thing with me and with my Son, reproved the world by the mouth of the apostles with the doctrine of my truth. They, and all others who are descended from them, following the truth which they understand through the same means, reprove the world. This is that continuous reproof that I make to the world by means of the Holy Scriptures and my servants, putting the Holy Spirit on their tongues to announce my truth, even as the devil puts himself on the tongues of his servants, that is to say, of those who pass through the river in iniquity. This is that sweet reproof that I have fixed forever in the aforesaid way, out of my most great affection of love for the salvation of souls. And they cannot say, "I had no one who reproved me," because the truth is revealed to them, showing them vice and virtue. And I have made them see the fruit of virtue and the hurtfulness of vice, to give them love and holy fear with hatred of vice and love of virtue. And this truth has not been shown to them by an angel, so that they cannot say, "The angel is a blessed spirit who cannot offend, and feels not the vexations of the flesh as we do, neither the heaviness of our body," because the incarnate word of my truth has been given to them with your mortal flesh. Who are the others who followed this word? Mortal creatures, susceptible of pain like you, having the same opposition of the flesh to the spirit, as had the glorious Paul, my standard-bearer, and many other saints who by one thing or another have been tormented. Which torments I permitted for the increase of grace and virtue in their souls. Thus, they were born in sin like you, and nourished with a like food, and I am God now as then. My power is not weakened, and cannot become weak, so that I can and will succor him who wishes to be succored by me. Man wants my succor when he comes out of the river and walks by the bridge, following the doctrine of my truth. Thus no one has any excuse, because both reproof and truth are continually given to them. Wherefore, if they do not amend while they have time, they will be condemned by the second condemnation, which will take place at the extremity of death, when my justice will cry to them, "Rise, you dead, and come to judgment." That is to say, you who are dead to grace and have reached the moment of your corporal death, arise and come before the supreme judge with your injustice and false judgment, and with the extinguished light of faith which you received burning in holy baptism, and which you have blown out with the wind of pride, and with the vanity of your heart, with which you set your sails to winds which were contrary to your salvation, for with the wind of self-esteem you filled the sail of self-love. Thus you hasten down the stream of the delights and dignities of the world at your own will, following your fragile flesh and the temptations of the devil, who with the sail of your own will set, has led you along the underway which is a running stream, and so has brought you with himself to eternal damnation. Of the second reproof of injustice, and of false judgment, in general and in particular. This second reproof, dearest daughter, is indeed a condemnation, for the soul has arrived at the end, where there can be no remedy, for she is at the extremity of death, where is the worm of conscience, which I told you was blinded self-love. Now, at the time of death, since she cannot get out of my hands, she begins to see, and therefore is gnawed with remorse, seeing that her own sin has brought her into so great evil. But if the soul have light to know and grieve for her fault, not on account of the pain of hell that follows upon it, but on account of pain at her offense against me, who am supreme and eternal good, still she can find mercy. But if she pass the bridge of death without light, and alone, with the worm of conscience, without hope of the blood, and with bewailing herself more on account of her first condemnation than on account of my displeasure, she arrives at eternal damnation. And then she is reproved cruelly by my justice of injustice and of false judgment, and not so much of general injustice and false judgment which she has practiced generally in all her works, but much more on account of the particular injustice and false judgment which she practices at the end, in judging her misery greater than my mercy. This is that sin which is neither pardoned here nor there, because the soul would not be pardoned, depreciating my mercy. Therefore is this last sin graver to me than all the other sins that the soul has committed. Wherefore the despair of Judas displeased me more, and was more grave to my son, than was his betrayal of him. So that they are reproved of this false judgment, which is to have held their sin to be greater than my mercy. And on that account are they punished with the devils, and eternally tortured with them. And they are reproved of injustice, because they grieve more over their condemnation than over my displeasure, and do not render to me that which is mine, and to themselves that which is theirs. For to me they ought to render love, and to themselves bitterness, with contrition of heart, and offer it to me for the offense they have done me. And they do the contrary, because they give to themselves love, pitying themselves, and grieving on account of the pain they expect for their sin. So you see that they are guilty of injustice and false judgment, and are punished for the one and the other together. Wherefore they, having depreciated my mercy, I with justice send them, with their cruel servant sensuality, and the cruel tyrant, the devil, whose servants they made themselves through their own sensuality, so that together they are punished and tormented, as together they have offended me. Tormented, I say, by my ministering devils, whom my judgment has appointed to torment those who have done evil. Of the four principal torments of the damned, from which follow all the others, and particularly of the foulness of the devil. My daughter, the tongue is not sufficient to narrate the pain of these poor souls. As there are three principal vices, namely, self-love, whence proceeds the second, that is, love of reputation, whence proceeds the third, that is, pride, with injustice and cruelty, and with other filthiness and iniquitous sins that follow upon these. So I say to you that in hell the souls have four principal torments, out of which proceed all the other torments. The first is that they see themselves deprived of the vision of me, which is such pain to them that, were it possible, they would rather choose the fire and the tortures and torments, and to see me, than to be without the torments and not to see me. This first pain revives in them, then, the second, the worm of conscience, which gnaws unceasingly, seeing that the soul is deprived of me, and of the conversation of the angels, through her sin, made worthy of the conversation and sight of the devils, which vision of the devil is the third pain, and redoubles to them their every toil. As the saints exult in the sight of me, refreshing themselves with joyousness in the fruit of their toils borne for me with such abundance of love and displeasure of themselves, so does the sight of the devil revive these wretched ones to torments, because in seeing him they know themselves more, that is to say, they know that by their own sin they have made themselves worthy of him. And so the worm of conscience gnaws more and more, and the fire of this conscience never ceases to burn. And the sight is more painful to them, because they see him in his own form, which is so horrible that the heart of man could not imagine it. And if you remember well, you know that I showed him to you in his own form for a little space of time, hardly a moment. And you chose, after you had returned to yourself, rather than to walk on a road of fire, even until the day of judgment, than to see him again. With all this that you have seen, even you do not know well how horrible he is, because, by divine justice, he appears more horrible to the soul that is deprived of me, and more or less according to the gravity of her sin. The fourth torment that they have is fire. This fire burns and does not consume, for the being of the soul cannot be consumed, because it is not a material thing that fire can consume. But I, by divine justice, have permitted the fire to burn them with torments, so that it torments them without consuming them, with the greatest pains in diverse ways, according to the diversity of their sins, to some more and to some less, according to the gravity of their fault. Out of these four torments issue all others, such as cold and heat and gnashing of the teeth and many others. Now, because they did not amend themselves after the first reproof that they had of injustice and false judgment, neither in the second, which was that in death they would not hope in me, nor grieve for the offense done to me, but only for their own pain, have they thus so miserably received eternal punishment. Of the third reproof, which is made on the day of judgment. Now, it remains to tell of the third reproof, which is on the last day of judgment. Already I have told you of two, and now, so that you may see how greatly man deceives himself, I will tell you of the third, of the general judgment, when the pain of the miserable soul is renewed and increased by the union that the soul will make with the body, with an intolerable reproof, which will generate in it confusion and shame. Know that in the last day of judgment, when will come the word, my son, with my divine majesty, to reprove the world with divine power, he will not come like a poor one, as when he was born, coming in the womb of the virgin, and being born in a stable amongst the animals, and then dying between two thieves. Then I concealed my power in him, letting him suffer pain and torment like man, not that my divine nature was therefore separated from human nature, but I let him suffer like man to satisfy for your guilt. He will not come thus in that last moment, but he will come with power to reprove in his own person, and will render unto everyone his due, and there will be no one in that day that will not tremble. To the miserable ones who are damned, his aspect will cause such torment and terror that the tongue cannot describe it. To the just, it will cause the fear of reverence with great joy. Not that his face changes, because he is unchangeable, being one thing with me according to the divine nature and according to the human nature. His face was unchangeable after it took the glory of the resurrection. But to the eye of the damned it will appear such, on account of their terrible and darkened vision, that as the sun, which is so bright, appears all darkness to the infirm eye, but to the healthy eye light. And it is not the defect of the light that makes it appear other to the blind than to the illuminated one, but the defect of the eye which is infirm. So will the condemned one see his countenance in darkness, in confusion, and in hatred. Not through defect of my divine majesty, with which he will come to judge the world, but through their own defect.